I'm so glad that you could join us for Bridges today. I'm Monica Schmelter, and today we're going to open up the conversation about how it's okay to say no. I know, sometimes it's a hard thing to do, but sometimes it's the healthiest and the best thing that we can do. So joining me to help us talk about that today are Sue and Maggie. And Sue, good to have you on Bridges again.
Thank you so much, Monica. Thank you. Thank
good
you
to
for
have
asking.
You. And Maggie, it's good to have you.
Always a pleasure.
On the program
Thank you.
Today. Now, Sue, I know that you are busy on so many different levels in your life. So you've had to, as you know, I have, and I'm sure Maggie has, had to say no when there was a lot of pressure to say, yes, I'll do this or I'll do that. So how do you handle it?
Well, I am a people pleaser. I want everybody to love me, and I want to prove myself to everybody. So to do that. But I'm reminded of a commercial a few years ago. I don't know if anybody remembers it, but it was something about I can go out and earn the money and buy the bacon and cut, cook it up in a pan. Does anybody remember that?
I am
so
woman.
Message, I am woman. I am. The message is I can do it all.
Right.
And I think as a young woman, I got that message that I can do it all. And if I can't, I'm going to come up short. Mm-hmm. And so being a people pleaser and want to show that I can do everything, I think it's so easy to say yes and then get into a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I'll share later about taking on a teaching role, but I'll save that to later.
All right. Liz, I can't wait to hear about it because I think that you said something that is so right. We can get ourselves into a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. I mean, people pleasing and wanting people to like us, you know, it has its good aspects, but it can go over the line and get us into a lot of trouble because we're never going to be able to make everybody happy. But Maggie, have you ever tried?
All the time, most of my life, I was like you, a people pleaser. And my personality type is to get her done. And when I became a Christian and I heard, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you know, I thought, yes, that's right, I can do that. Mm-hmm. And everything your hands find to do, do it unto the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so I would literally wear myself out saying yes when I really should have said no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's easy enough to do. And I think sometimes we can find scripture, like you just said, that makes it seem like that's the thing to do. But in scripture, we also see that it's important to rest.
Yes.
We see that it's also important to kind of let our yes be yes and our no be no.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that we have the right and the privilege to say yes and no, to set our priorities. We're good stewards. And sometimes these are all competing and conflicting interests. And so I just wanted us to open up the conversation today so we can help one another kind of step back and relax and see that sometimes it's okay to say no. Sometimes it's just the healthiest thing. Sometimes it's what God wants us to do.
Yes.
I know that I have definitely lost sleep over being overcommitted and overscheduled and feeling badly, you know, that I might need to let people down by saying, oh, actually, I can't take on that responsibility. And I've also gotten myself into resentment by accepting a responsibility and then just being mad about it.
And that's really spiritual. Now.
Yeah, it is. Completely spiritual to say yes and then be mad at everybody and everything about what I said yes to. So I'd go ahead.
Another degree of pleasing people is a term called codependency. Mm-hmm. And I am somewhat codependent today. I'm not nearly as codependent as I used to be, but that simply means that I just think about you and your needs and disregard all of my needs. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy to slip into that mode, and then it grows and grows, mm-hmm. and then you lose yourself, mm-hmm. and you don't know who you are.
Right. And I can remember a teaching early on in my Christian life that they didn't use the word codependent. It was actually, the little phrase was joy. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And that was the thing. You'll be a really happy person when you put Jesus first, put others second, and yourself last. So,
And that's good to an extent.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
To an extent.
We just have to have those lines and boundaries, because I did it to the extent that you were talking about being codependent, where I was always last on the list. And even if it was hurting me, I was accommodating what everybody else thought. And I had the thought on occasion, well, it's just miserable to be a Christian because I never get to do anything I want.
Well, and I think pastors have a really hard time with this. You know, I've heard it said that Christians are the only ones that eat their own, so to speak, because there's no allowance for exhaustion or mental mm-hmm. exhaustion, especially mm-hmm. with our pastors yeah. and our church workers. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be men. It can be all kinds of people and Christian work.
Yeah. And it is. And the Bible also outlines the principle of rest. It
yes.
outlines the principle of stewardship. It outlines the principles of boundaries. And so as we talk about it, it's okay to say, no, we have to work and flow through all of those things as well. It's impossible to please people all of the time. That's one surefire way to be miserable. The other thing is we can't say yes to everything. And if we do, then yes means nothing. So, Sue, could you maybe give us an example of where you got yourself into trouble by saying yes when you shouldn't have?
Yes.
Yes, she says.
I wouldn't say no to that. I was a young woman, and I had just gone through an extensive training at my church. And as a part of that training, you were expected to take a class. Mm. And so a 5-year-old's needed a teacher. And I thought, well, I have to do this. I'm expected to do this, so I better do this. Did I ever feel called to do that? Never. Never. So I did it. And I hated. I'm sorry. That's not a good word. But I did mm-hmm. not get any joy because that's not my calling. Mm-hmm. I can work with the elderly. I can work with all kinds of people. But 5-year-olds is just not what I'm called to do. And so I did it for a year, and I did my responsibility. And then I learned a great lesson in that, mm-hmm. is that if I don't feel called to do that, you best not say that you'll do it.
Yeah. 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 And, you know, I know when you said, well, I'm not supposed to say, you know, I hated to do that. But here's the thing. Whatever we think about it, like if when someone asks you to do something, there's not anything in you that wants to do it.
But I was supposed to want to do it.
Exactly. See, we put these supposed to's mm-hmm. on us. But, you know, sometimes we know, like, that's just not for me. Like, we know that. So if that's the case, say no. And get yourself out of it right away.
Do something else.
But you did. You fulfilled a year's commitment.
I did.
That's pretty amazing.
I did.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But I didn't get joy out of it at all.
1 year of
I got
misery.
No blessing out of it.
Lots of lessons learned.
Lots of lessons.
Yeah, and that's where I think we have to look at it in terms of it's okay to say no. That even if we've messed up, if we've learned that lesson, which you did, like if we're not called to do it, if we don't have a passion to do something, it's best not to say yes. Mm-hmm. You know, unless God has really said, Sue, you need to do this, or Monica, do this, then don't do it. How about you, Maggie? Have you ever said yes?
Oh, my goodness. You know, so many times in my life before I became a Christian, because I wanted people to like me. I wanted people to, you know, I didn't know that I was a people pleaser until mm-hmm. after I went through a lot of counseling. But yes, absolutely. But, you know, sometimes it's even harder whenever you know to say no when you want to say yes. It's something you're passionate about. You know, I did a couple years back, I wrote out my mission statement and I said, okay, if it's within this proximity of helping others and doing what I'm, you know, if it falls within my mission statement, that's going to be a gauge to help me when to say yes and when to say no. Problem is, I'm passionate about helping people.
Everything,
every need, okay? I want to help the addicted. I want to help the afflicted. I mean, it's just, you know, the list goes on and on. One example would be last year, you know, a very well-respected pastor in the community took me out to breakfast, sat me down, and he's like, Maggie, I want you to be over this jail ministry. Now, every part of my body wanted to say yes, because I'm passionate about prison ministry and mm-hmm. jail ministry, but that's not exactly the timing of the Lord.
You're right.
I do detention ministry, but not to the level of overseeing that and taking on a responsibility, because sometimes, and I know this happens to you, Sue, as well as you, I'm sure, that when you have some leadership skills, everybody wants you to lead. Everywhere you go, it's like, can you do this? Can you do that? And you feel so overwhelmed, and then that sense of duty. But what I have found by me saying no, it allows the right person that's called to do it to step in and say yes. If I say yes to the things I'm supposed to say no to, there's somebody out there not fulfilling their walk, their calling, or them being pulled into an area where they need to grow.
Yeah. And you know, though, the thing is that even if nobody steps up, that doesn't mean that we should.
That's right.
You know, I think sometimes we try to fill needs, we see them, and we try to jump in and do that. And sometimes there may be a space of time that needs to go by where a need is, where we're looking for the right person, or where people are being stretched in their faith to pray through that. So sometimes we can overcompensate by just thinking that we know the answer, and the answer is that we should jump in and say yes. when maybe we should say no. And I think that's so good, Maggie, that you brought that up, that it may be something that we're very excited about doing.
Sure.
But we don't have the time to do that.
Right.
You know, there have been times people have asked me to come and speak at something, but like I wouldn't have time to put the message together or to drive there and get there with everything else that's going on. So it becomes important for me just to say no, because there have been times I've tried to rework my whole schedule to make something happen, and it just really gave me like all kinds of headaches and all kinds of stress, and that's not good, is it, Sue?
No, it's not. You lose the joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how do you work when you need to say no? What do you practice?
Well, I think the thing that most of us say is we'll pray about it. I need to buy some time here and then come back with some kind of reasonable excuse. I think that's the thing that I found, at least for, when I'm asking people to do things, they're always going to pray about it. When they know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll pray about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've stopped saying that unless it's really the absolute truth. Like if it's really something that I think I can do and that it might work, but I need to pray about it, then I say I pray about it. If not, then I don't
just
say
have to
that.
Say no.
Right. Just have to say no. Now, you mentioned something about giving explanations. Do you think it's best that we give explanations when we say no, or
no?
In a word, no.
I don't think we have to explain ourselves. In my career, I had a lot of things that I had to do, and sometimes I had to find time to work in time with my daughter. And I learned to say sometimes I have an appointment, and that appointment might be to take my daughter to McDonald's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or I might want to read a book or take a bubble bath. But if I said to you, I can't hold this appointment, I can't book this appointment because I'm going to take a bubble bath and read a book, that's not acceptable. But mm-hmm. if I say, I'm sorry, I have a commitment, mm-hmm. that's all we have to say.
Yes.
Is I have a commitment, I'm sorry, I can't do that.
Right. And I saw this quote, and I don't know, you know, who said it. I think I saw it on Pinterest, somebody's quote board or something. It just said, learn to say no without giving an explanation. Because part of when we give explanations, I think, like
it
you said...
It waters it down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes people try to overcome that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, could you take your daughter to McDonald's later? Could you do this? And it's like, I don't want to give people more to work with. Just no is no. How do you feel about giving explanations, Maggie?
I really don't think it's necessary. I think that we actually need to be able to just communicate, I have another commitment, or mm-hmm. unfortunately, I'm not able to meet your expectation or your commitment. And we have a hard time doing that.
Yeah.
We've been taught that everything has an excuse, but the excuses only work for the person giving them. It's not helping the other person.
Right.
So to answer your question, we do need to practice.
Yeah.
Yes. Saying
yeah.
no.
Yeah, I think we do. I know that I definitely practice. Sometimes I write it out. Sometimes I just think about, well, how am I going to say this? And, you know, one thing that I have found is it's usually a lot harder, like, right before I do it. You know, like, the pressure builds. But then once I've done it and said, no, I can't do that, or I've got a commitment, or thanks for asking, but I'm unable to, the pressure lifts. Mm. Is it that way for you?
Well, it is, and I think that it's better to communicate verbally than mm-hmm. it is in written, especially yeah. if it's something you don't want them to remember or that can be misinterpreted.
Right.
So if there's a conflict with something, it's just a lot better to do it. Pick up the telephone and actually talk to somebody, because so many times when things are written in a text mm-hmm. or email or note, or something. If you want somebody to remember something, you write it. If you want them to forget it, you say it. So if you say, you are such a special person to me, I love you very much, and thank you for being Maggie, thank you for being you, I want you to remember that. But if I say a critique or something that I need that needs to be fixed, that would hurt your feelings, and you won't ever forget it. So it's better if I say it than you'll forget it. So if it has to be said, and most times it with somebody asking you to do something
right.
is not that big, so much to say.
I think, though, too, you know, when it's in writing or it's texting, it can be easy to misunderstand where a person's coming from. You can't see the person's facial expression or hear the tone on their voice. And so it can seem like we're being harsh when, gosh, we're just really in a hurry.
And you don't know where they're coming from.
Right.
So if they're having a really hard day and some really bad things have happened to them, and mm-hmm. then you type out a text that says something that you don't really mean it that way,
right.
but you can't change it once right. it's written out.
That's right, because it's out there.
It's out there.
It's out there. So we're talking today about how it's okay to say no, and hopefully as we open up this conversation, really allows all of us to get to a place of greater freedom and greater honesty without feeling like we've got to take the responsibility of the world on our shoulders. One of the things that I've read about that we many times are afraid to say no because we think that someone will reject us, or say, for example, that it's at work, that if we're hugely busy and we can't take on another project, that then there's fear that, well, gosh, I won't be considered for this in the future. Has that ever happened to you, Maggie?
Oh, when I was in corporate America, it happened frequently because mm-hmm. there was a big push and drive, personal development, self-development, and you need to be on this committee and you need to be on that committee. And I was like running myself ragged. Mm-hmm. I took on the role all the way with Toastmasters, all the way to the area governor, because I felt a sense of responsibility. Like, you know, if I want to climb that corporate ladder, then I need to do all of these things to be able to achieve that and please my employer. But the fact of the matter is I had the ladder on the wrong building. I was nowhere remotely within God's will doing all that. Now, was it a waste? No, I gained some skills.
Sure.
I learned some things along the way. But the reality is that time would have been better suited pursuing the things that I was supposed to be doing in that season of my life.
Yeah. And I think that that's the key for all of us, is to stay cognizant of where we are in our life.
Yes.
And the lessons that God is teaching us. And, you know, if we can learn from saying yes and learn from saying no, and figure those things out. I think sometimes we don't figure that out until we've overcommitted, or until we've learned that we can trust God, that
yes.
I can say no, and that the world is not going to fall apart, and that other opportunities are still going to come our way. And, you know, these are all important lessons that every person needs to learn. And that when we can say no, then when the right opportunity comes along, we can say yes. So give us some examples of times you've been able to say yes, and that's been a good thing.
Well, I was just thinking as you were saying that if we don't stop long enough to hear what the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. is telling us, then if we're so busy with all of these things, then we don't know where He's guiding us.
Right.
And for me, I just have to stop, slow down mm-hmm. long enough mm-hmm. that God can speak to me, and that busy doesn't necessarily mean godly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
And I think it's so important that you say that, because I think, you know, even as we're focusing today on it's okay to say no, that really we have to be able to say yes to God.
Yes.
And yes to God about what He says about us, that the great value that we have. Yes.
Well, with every yes, you're saying no to something else.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say yes to all these things, you've got to say no to something else. And are these the greater things?
Right.
Even
right.
though these are good, this might be the greater things
yeah.
that we're having to say no to because we've overcommitted ourselves.
Right. And, you know, you said right at the beginning, Sue, as we opened up this conversation, that, you know, years ago, you saw that commercial, and it was like, just take on everything and be Superwoman. I can do all of these things. And sometimes we just have to look at life and say, you know, I might be able to do all of those things over time, but not at the same time. Like, there are different seasons to different things, and it's good to be wise about that. We can't do everything all at the same time and maintain our sanity and our relationship with the Lord.
That's right.
Because there's one sure way to build up resentment and burnout in our life, and that's to be chronically overcommitted. And I think being able to say yes to God and His Word that says, you know, in Ephesians 2:10, where He talks about that we are His masterpiece mm. and that He created us for good works yes. a long time ago. Part of saying yes to that is realizing that God has plans for us, and that instead of being concerned about what everybody else thinks, we need to think about Him first and ask, is this really something that lines up with what God has been speaking to me? Does that make a difference as
well,
you?
It, yeah. it does, and I'm thinking of family. You know, if we're not there for family, mm-hmm. this is terribly important, and this is where Satan attacks the most. The most is destroying families, and we've got to have time. We've got to have quality time with their families, and so yes, we've got to listen to God, and then we've got to chisel out. I like to do a pie and put in colors of my basic things that I'm doing. General things. And so in order to have some family time, you've got to be intentional about some family times, about a dinner, a meal, something that you can do together.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for so many people, we don't realize how quickly that time flies until it's gone. And then you kind of look back and it's like, well, where did all of that time go? So if you've got little kids, they're only going to be little once. So you want to make sure that you're intentional about that time. And so that means you're not going to be able to say yes to every coffee date, to every play date. We really have to think about our lives and really what God has already said, because he's already made it clear in his word that, you know, he's our first priority. But after that, it's our families. And getting so caught up in anything, whether it's a ministry, whether it's a volunteer thing that we're doing, or even a career, a paid job or path, we really have to stop and think before God about our life first and what we want it to look like, what's important to us. Because I think, Sue, that time with our families is everything.
Oh, it certainly is. And you see my grandchildren just grow up so fast, and it's like, what happened? I used to be the youngest person anywhere. And then I woke up one day, yesterday, and I'm the oldest person. I'm the oldest of anybody. And it's like, how did that happen?
Right.
I don't know how that happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
and
yesterday.
Everybody I talk to says that same thing.
That's
like,
true.
All of a sudden, people just were calling me ma'am. And I thought, who are you talking to?
Yeah.
Like, you can't possibly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
it's like,
right.
Where did that go? So I can see areas of my life that I wasn't intentional enough. I didn't have the understanding or the wisdom. I didn't know, but that's why we're having this conversation now, because we have to be intentional about our lives and understand it's okay to say no. So Maggie, as you started challenging yourself to really look at your schedule, to write, you talked about writing out a mission statement, which is fabulous. How does your life look differently now?
Well, you know, everything has to be in balance. You know, when we go to extremes, it's like we're either doing too much or we're not doing enough. Mm-hmm. And then we are, you know, we get lackadaisical with our walk. You know, kind of off topic here, but we were talking about saying no and people saying yes with the peer pressure. I just want to piggyback on something that Sue said, if that's okay. When we talk about we overcommit because we're worried about pleasing people, when I first became a Christian many years ago, I was trying to earn God's love.
Sure.
And so I was saying yes to the nursery and yes to this and all this. And I was such a broken woman. I needed to be in the sanctuary getting that word and that message and so forth. So now, learning over the years of how I tried to please God, you know, and we know he loves us regardless.
Right.
And then I tried to please people, because if I please people, that would please God too. So I was really doing the same thing. So now, after 20 years of walking with the Lord, I'm getting a little bit of wisdom. I still have got a lot to learn, but I took that schedule and I laid it out and I said, Lord, this is crazy. And he said, yeah, and you created it. And so I just had to start chiseling away. I still use the mission statement, but I had to bring it in a little bit. And I do, you know, I'm not quick to say I'll pray about it. I literally do pray about everything, because if not, I will get overcommitted, because I get so excited about what God's doing and I want to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, if I do that, I know it's going to run me ragged. And even recently, I allowed my schedule to overtake me and I ended up sick. Ended up in the hospital, you know, because I did not rest. Rest is very spiritual, you know, and restoration begins with rest.
It does.
So
it does.
Yes.
And it's very important, and nothing goes right if we don't get proper rest. And we have to have enough time to even think about the word, to meditate on it, to reflect on it. And so we can't do that unless we've slowed ourselves down just a little bit.
That's right.
And been able to say, you know, I need to say yes to what God says yes to, and I need to give myself the freedom and the flexibility to say no without fearing that I'm going to make all kinds of enemies and what are people going to think. And Maggie, I'm glad that you talked about, you know, when you first became a Christian, you were trying to earn God's love, because I think that that's a part of many of our lives, and that we try to get him to love us by serving in the church. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we even hear messages about serving. And I do love my church, and I do think it's important to serve in church. But nobody can serve all 7 days and hold a job and do your laundry. Like this, right? Can that happen?
Absolutely.
My brother made a statement to me several months ago, and he's very wise. He's quite a bit older. I won't state his age, but he's over 70.
And listen to that.
And
you're
so
not stating his age.
He says to me, "Do you think that you're better than God?" And I'm like, "Well, of course not." And he's like, "Well, you know, there's a Sabbath, and he took a rest. Don't you think you might want to rest?" And I was like, "Ouch, ouch." So if it's visible to those outside of us that we're doing too much, we're definitely doing too much.
Yeah.
And so we have those warning signs. So it's, and you're right, you cannot hear from God when you're going, "Oh, how am I going to do this? And I got this deadline, and I've got that going on." Yeah. So there really needs to be an understanding of the importance of the spiritual word. No, just say no. Right. You know, we remember the drug campaign, just say no. Well, you know, we have an epidemic now that, you know, that didn't really work. But for us as Christian women, you know, we want to serve, and it's the right thing to do, like you said, but we've got to be able to say no. It's vital to our health, emotionally, physically, and spiritually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And being able, you mentioned warning signs. There are warning signs when we're overcommitted.
Yes.
Being stressed, being exhausted, being angry at everybody, easily irritated. All of those things can be signs of being overscheduled, overcommitted, taking on responsibilities that it's just not really meant for us to take on. And those are important indicators. Sometimes you can say, "I'll pray about it." And it's like, okay, well, pray, that's good. But you're seeing it, you're feeling it, it's happening. That is an answer to the prayer that you need to step back. I want to thank you, Maggie, for coming today.
Thank you for having me.
And for being on Bridges. And thank you, Sue.
Thank you.
And good to talk to you, and appreciate all of your contributions. And we're glad that all of you could join us today. And we want to share with you that it really is okay to say no. Sometimes it's what we've got to do. We're out of time. We've got to go. But we say goodbye, and God bless you.
You can purchase a copy of today's show for $15. Call us at 615-754-0039 or send a check to the address on the screen. Please mention the program number on the screen.
When I truly turned my heart to the Lord, He took every sin I ever did away from me.
Amen.
He took all the bad things I did. He took away everything that I felt like I felt short.
God is so good. God healed me. And doctors told me that disease was something that could never be cured. It can be controlled.
The start is what stops most people. You know, it's no good to have a big dream if you're not putting yourself in motion to go after that.
Is that butterfly, that excitement of the new relationship, once that goes away, what you're left with, is that something that you're okay with?
And once they start buying into the truth about themselves, then they can begin to change, that process of change in their life.
Hey everybody, I'm Dale.
And I'm Tamara.
And we're hosts of the Kynos Project podcast,
where we help you tackle ancient Christian truths in everyday settings.
The word kynos means new, and that's exactly what we want to do on our podcast, bring something new from what is old in our faith.
And on this show, you might hear us explore topics like what the Bible has to say about student loan forgiveness, discuss how the Satanic Temple affects our view of religious liberty in America, or even question why is it that so many people are having rapture anxiety.
To learn more about the podcast, go to lifeaudio.com.